But the number one thing that I'm measuring every morning when I come in, or that I want my GMs to measure, or anybody working at Eustace, is how many warranty calls did we get?
That kind of growth doesn't happen by accident.
So I started producing content about roofing when there was really nobody doing it.
How we turned Eustace into one of Florida's leading roofing companies.
We didn't have to spend a ton of marketing dollars because we were the first to the scene with content about roofing.
Why his company not invest 6-7% of revenue into marketing?
When I joined Equity, we were doing around $30 million. So we've seen the business almost double now because of the...
This is AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros, the show for contractors who want to grow without wasting time or money. If you're in roofing, HVAC, plumbing, or any home service business, we break down how AI and modern marketing can help you book more jobs, close more leads, and build a business that runs without babysitting every task.
My guest today is Jason Reisman, the president of Eustace Roofing, a company that went from just $1 million in revenue when he took over in 2011 to more than $60 million today. That kind of growth doesn't happen by accident. Jason built Eustace from the ground up, literally starting with the installers, focusing on putting the best roofs possible, and then scaling the sales and marketing around that foundation. In this episode, Jason shares how he turned Eustace into one of Florida's leading roofing companies, what it's like partnering with private equity, and why he believes the heartbeat of any roofing business is the installers. We dig into how he uses content to attract not just customers, but also top talent, why his company now invests 6-7% of revenue into marketing, and how AI tools like Rilla are changing the way they train sales reps and manage performance. You also hear Jason's bold belief, integrity before profit, why you sometimes lose money on a job to keep your word to the customer, and how that long-term mindset has built trust and fueled growth. If you want to understand how to scale a roofing business the right way with strong culture, smart marketing, and technology that gives you an edge, this conversation with Jason Reisman is one you don't want to miss. Hey, Jason, thank you for joining us. So I'm super excited to have you on.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to be on today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so we haven't met before, but I know you have an amazing story to share, an amazing growth story that I think a lot of people will find valuable, and I can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a long journey for me for the last 15 years, so happy to share that journey.
Awesome, awesome. So Jason, you took over Eustace Roofing in 2011, and you said that the company was doing about $1 million in revenue at that time. Today, you're over $60 million. So what are the biggest turning points in that growth journey?
Yeah, so for me, it was a long journey. And I think a lot of roofing companies try to do that short term, and that's really hard to do. For me, the idea was, how do we build the best roofs? One of the main phone calls I always got was from homeowners that had competitors put roofs on and they had issues and they wouldn't come back out. And so for me, it's like, how do I solve that problem? And how do I prevent that from happening within my own company that I was working at? So I created this atmosphere. We're going to put the best roofs on. And so we're going to focus on the installation, and then the rest will come from there. And exactly how it happened. So I built the roofing company from backwards. You know, typically you build it from sales to production, and I built Eustace from production to sales. So back then it was hard to find like quality installers. There wasn't a ton. And actually for me, I always tell the story that I joined the YMC soccer team to start finding people. I could not find anybody. I had 6 installers and that was it. And so really pressed into, how do I create a workplace where they want to work, thrive, where it's going to create an atmosphere where we're going to find installers a lot easier. And that's how we kind of got it rolling. And then also getting involved, working on the roof, understanding the difficulties and what they do, and then translating that to content eventually, talking about the installers as athletes instead of just workers. Because honestly, it's probably one of the hardest jobs in the world, and it really does take an athlete to do it.
Yeah, I think you start like, it's not a typical journey, because I think most roofers, they start in the sales, right? They start in the actual sales. A lot of them are having even never installed a roof, right? Never installed the roof, never actually done that. So you came from the actual background. So you have the technical expertise. I'm sure that's helped you, right, with your business, right? From starting from that, then learning the sales and the marketing later, right?
Yeah, that's been phenomenal. And a lot of roofing companies are actually aren't roofing companies. They're marketing and sales, and they hire a roofing company to do the roof. That's typically what you see in this industry. And I chose to go a different direction because I really wanted to understand it. I grew up in roofing, so I already had a good understanding of it. Probably been doing it since I was 10. I used to put the hot tar roofs on and stuff like that, but I moved away, got a NASCAR, came back 10 years later and really dove in. And what I found is, like, you know, marketing and sales and stuff like that, when companies are doing that, they're watching the KPIs, you know, really, really close. But for me, sometimes those KPIs are off. For instance, if you have warranty issues, that's kind of going to drive away your close rate. That's going to drive customers away. And so for me, it's like, how do we get in really well and put really good roof systems on so it does quite the opposite? It helps the close rate. It helps the salesperson. And I always said back then, you know, like 30% of customers, you're just showing up to get a signature. You don't really even have to have a pitch. That was the idea that I had. And that's what we were doing. If you were a really good salesperson, then you could make up the other 20%. But realistically, if we show up to the job site, we look like a NASCAR team, that's where I came from, and we have that set up really well and the customer experience is really well and the roof doesn't leak and performs, then we're going to get customers. And so what I see with roofing companies that dive into just marketing and sales, the roofs don't perform and they start to lose the marketplace. They start to lose neighborhoods because they're not putting solid roofs on. And I don't care how good of white glove service you have. If a homeowner has a leak after they spent a considerable amount of money with you, they're not going to be happy and they're not going to refer you to others. So that has really helped me going out to issues on roofs that we built and figuring out why, and then changing that process has really helped me also, especially in the private equity world, because they understand sales, marketing, and how to build companies. But what they might not understand is the actual part that matters the most, which is installing the roof. And so I can bridge that connection, and I'm happy to be able to do that in this industry.
Yeah. And how did your partnership with Vertex come about, and how has private equity shaped the next phase of Eustace's growth?
So, it came about, you know, I had several offers to join equity, and Vertex was a really good fit because it was a long-term equity group. They wanted to see long-term how well we could build this process for the roofing industry. And most equity companies are mostly short-term, and 3 years they're going to flip. And so I like that idea. One of the things I liked is, and I always tell roofing company owners that are interested in joining equity, what do the companies that are part of equity look like? Do they look like you? If they're completely different than you, probably not a good place for you to join. And when I looked at the four companies that they'd already had, they looked just like us, been in business for a long time. They were actually roofers. They weren't just marketing and sales. I love that part. And a lot of them were some of the best in the industry. You know, you got people like Monarch, Victor's Roofing. There's a lot of talented people, Handyman Roofing out of Tampa. Like, these are guys that have been doing it for a long time. And that's what I wanted to be a part of. Really, they were a big part of the community too, each one of these companies. So to me, it was a really good fit. And then the long-term growth that they wanted really made sense to me. And so for me, it was a partnership. I'm still involved every day, helping it grow and really bridging that gap between the knowledge of roofing, transferring that to the sales side. When I joined equity, we were doing around $30 million. So we've seen the business almost double now because of the marketing and the sales. And that's where equity has done a really good job. Vertex has done a good job of marketing and getting us in front of the homeowner better. And then my job is to bridge the gap and really still, you know, install really great roof systems. Like, honestly, my mission has always been to save homeowners from bad roofers, and that'll never change. And now we can do it on a bigger scale. Now we can share information throughout 28 companies across the country. What works best? What's the best procedures and stuff like that? So I think saving homeowners from originally at Eustace is now on a much bigger scale. And it's a lot further out that reach that we can have.
Yeah. And important thing, you kept control, right? You kept a lot of the control inside your company. Like, they just basically are helping you scale, right? That's kind of the main thing.
I would say they have a huge amount of control. They hire really, really talented people. That's one of the things that I've been benefited the most is we put GMs in place that are just super knowledgeable, really, really good people. So honestly, for me, it's just help driving it to where we want to go and connecting between the actual labor side of things, the installation side, best practice when putting the roof on. One of the things that I dove in is like project management. Like, how do we hire new project managers that have knowledge in this industry? So we started a 2-week course where you have to pass that course to become a project manager. So those are areas that I dive in more in the knowledge side, and how do we connect that to the marketing and sales.
Nice. You went from spending about, when we talked last time, about 0.5% on marketing, right, to now spending 6-7% on marketing. How is that shift so important, and what impact did you have on your growth?
Yeah. So if you look back, you know, I don't know, probably 8 years ago, I started producing content about roofing when there was really nobody doing it. There was people that I would say that were doing it would be like Adam Sand was doing it and Dimitri had started doing it. And those are guys that I looked up to and I just dove in, started producing content because I needed some sales and had built a huge production team, but actually needed to start now building sales. So I got into making some content. And the cool thing about it was content that made sense, that was talking about problematic areas and stuff like that. And so there was nobody doing that in our space. And so it took off like wildfire and really started to grow. We didn't have to spend a ton of marketing dollars because we were the first to the scene with content about roofing. And so now we fast forward, 8 years and you're seeing content everywhere and you're seeing, people invest in Google and all kinds of marketing leads. And so that's changed dramatically. And we're going to have to invest more to get in front of the homeowner. And honestly, for small roofing companies, it's going to be really, really hard because they're not going to have the ability to invest like companies like us to really get in front of the homeowner. And then you're seeing the content out there. There's a whole lot more content. But what I'm most proud about is my content or Eustace's content is typically around problematic areas, how we solve those. They're on the roof, like talking about things that we can do differently to keep the water from coming into the homeowner's house. And then a lot of the other content that I'm seeing is just like, hey, I'm doing this roof behind me. It really doesn't talk about the details. And so that really shows the homeowner, hey, we're not just a marketing company. We're experts in what we do. And so I think our content's a little different, but we do have to spend a considerable amount of money to get in front of the homeowners where we didn't have to in the past.
Yeah. And I want you guys to really think about that, because if you are competing in his market, right, Central Florida, think about trying to get in front of a homeowner and what that's going to entail. Because if they're spending about 7% and they're a $60 million company, that's over $1 million, right? Over $1 million in revenue just in the marketing, right? So they're spending that amount to actually get to the actual customer, right? And it's a much harder for a roofer, right? For a new startup or even just a guy who's been in business for a long time to compete with that. So you have to understand that it's going to take a little bit more budget, also more creativity as well, right? So like what kind of advice would you give someone that's like not at that level, but they want to compete with in your area, but like just like what would you do if you were in their shoes, right? And you don't have that budget behind you.
Yeah, first of all, I never have an issue like sharing secrets with competitors in my area, because at the end of the day, we want to save homeowners from bad roofers. And if you want to, the best chance you have of disrupting our business is doing a really good job for your homeowners. Then you're going to start coming into our marketplace, because that's where we're at. We're the best at what we do. And if you want to become really good, you're going to disrupt us, which is fine because you're delivering great roofs to homeowners. And we're fine with that because there's a huge need for that in our industry. But if it's not just one lever, and that's the issue with marketing now, you have to do it in several different areas. You have to be at community events. You have to be making the content. You have to answer your Google reviews, whether they're bad or good. You need to be a part of that. That's one of the things I check every night and every morning. And if there is a bad review, I'm going to go and meet with that homeowner or my team and us, and we're going to figure out how to solve that problem. Because, roofing is a tough job, and your major construction on a perfectly manicured house here in Florida can be difficult, and expectations can be off sometimes for homeowners. And so how do we fix that or bridge that gap? But like I said, a lot of community events. One of the biggest things that we do that I love to do, and it really gets the team involved, is we do give away a free roof every year. We find somebody in need, and it does so much for the company culture. Yes, somebody benefits from a roof, but for us, we benefit way more just because it really drives the culture and helps us, solidify what we're doing is important. But I always look at it as many levers. You want to be making content. You want to deliver a really good roof system, because your salespeople can't sell if they don't believe in what they're selling in. And I think another thing that a lot of people don't think about is when the initial call comes in, and how do you handle that? And how do you send the right person to that homeowner or that job site or that particular roof system? And the flow of calls that come in, you can lose, 10, 15%. Of schedules because you don't answer the phone right, or you don't handle that customer the right way. So I think it's many levers that you have to pull. And there's a ton of different marketing resources, whether it be PPC, all kinds of those things that you can pull levers on. And the good thing is, what you should be doing now is you should be tracking those very, very lean, so that you know what's working, what's not, and where you can put money in those levers. So that's kind of how I look at it when it comes to marketing.
Yeah, let's get into that. So what is working best for you right now? Like, for in terms of marketing, what do you think is the best acquisition channel for you guys?
I mean, I think LSA is really strong for us right now, where it hasn't been in the past. I think that's a good one. But I mean, our legacy number is still the number one way that we get customers, which is, you know, on your vehicle wraps. It's really your content. We've seen a lot lately in social media where we hadn't seen that months ago. So social media, we've seen some come into the YouTube, but you know, managing the job site and the customers next door, making sure that you're communicating with not just your customer, but the customers next door, and letting them know if there's anything in your yard, you know, let us know, making your sales guys, you know, get out in the field. But I'd say LSA is a big one. Content is getting bigger for us. Again, it's like a hit or miss and it changes. And you have to remember, in Central Florida, people come and go, and it's seasonal, and then the rain is seasonal, and then the hurricanes are seasonal. So the good thing is when you have KPIs, you can measure that year over year, and you can start to see what levers work in what months. But for me, investing in your local community is huge. And that's one thing like our competitors say now is like, hey, they've joined a large private equity company and they're not part of the community anymore. We're more involved in the community than ever. We spend more money in the community than we ever did before. And so a lot of those things are false. And it might make sense to a customer or a homeowner from a competitor standpoint, but realistically, we're spending more marketing dollars back into our communities than we've ever seen before. We're hiring more people than we were. So we actually have more employees and people working for us. And so, you know, our resources are going right back into our community. We're doing more community buildings, a lot more commercial work maybe in those areas. So like, we're seeing that flow right back into our communities. And it's been nothing but a good thing for us and for our community. And another thing too, that people don't think about, it's hard to compete with companies like us now because we have healthcare for our employees that's affordable. We have retirement plans. Since when have you seen that in the roofing space? It's very rare. And so why would you want to work for somebody else if you don't have those amenities that you can have as an employee? And you're not seeing that in our space. So very, very difficult to compete against something like that.
Yeah, and allows you to keep the talented people with you long term, right? That's kind of the big thing too, as well, the A players, right? Because A players, especially in roofing, right? I'm sure your experiences, a lot of these guys, they start their own business, right? They see how it works, and then they go and start their business a few years later, right? A lot of these best sales guys is very common, right? So, but if you give them a reason to stay, then they'll stay, right? And that's a good reason, I would say.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people forget when you talk about A players, that everybody wants A players in your marketing and your A players in your sales. But for me, like my biggest A players is the actual guys and girls installing the roof. Like, how do I make those my players, because that's my best advertisement. And honestly, like sales people are not going to want to leave and start their own company when they can see that you're doing really good work, and that's going to be hard for them to do on their own, and they believe in what you're doing. So I know a lot of times everybody talks about A players, and typically it's just on salesperson. But for me, like, how do we make sure that in the field, when we show up with a 10 people group, that they're all A players, they're all going to deliver something unique. And that just drives the culture. That just drives everything. You're not going to get people that leave very often. And we don't have a huge turnover rate at all because they believe in the mission, right? That's almost bigger than any kind of resource that you can have.
How do you attract, recruit and train installers in your company?
Yeah. So again, A players bring you A players, right? So we'll start asking around, do you know anybody else that has that level of workmanship that you have? And a lot of times they will always have that. The other thing too is we've created a really an awesome place for culture-wise when it comes to installers. So every morning we're getting groups that come in every morning, where when I first started, like, that didn't exist. And so we probably have about 10 or 15 people a day that are looking to install roofs for us. And what we'll do is we'll try them out. We'll put them on a roof, but we'll put one of our qualified, what we call crew chiefs, on the job with them to show them how that we like to do it. Beforehand, we require them to show us some pictures, not just the finished roofs. We want to see the details that are under the roof. How do you do your flashing? How do you do your kick out? How do you do your valleys? And then we built mobile roofs that we have out back of our shop, and we go through our process and we test them to see, you know, if they can do it. Everybody says they can do it, but proving it. And then we put them on the job site with a qualified crew chief for about 3 to 4 weeks until that we know we can trust them. And then we have a project manager that actually goes to that job site consistently with them 3 times a day to make sure that we're delivering that and nothing has changed as far as the quality. And I can promise you almost 90% of the time when we bring on a new group of people to work for us, no one's ever taught them anything about roofing. So they've been doing it for 10 or 15 years and they always say, this is new. I've never had a roofing company show me how they want it done or teach me anything about roofing. And that just always blows my mind, because you're installing an expensive roof that's supposed to cover that homeowner for 15 years and there's no training, you know? And so we do that process. And then just checks and measures on them the entire time. Do we feel like they're up to par? And then we can keep an eye on them with the project manager. But again, if you're producing content and you're talking about how important the installer is and you're acting or calling them as athletes, because that's really what they are, they're watching that same content. So you're just pushing into their culture of like, I care about what you're doing. I have the knowledge of what you're doing. So I'm not asking you do something that I don't know how to do. And that really goes a long way to the installers, because typically they work for somebody that doesn't understand their job. And so there's no relationship there. But another thing that we do is, this is huge for us, is we have a Christmas party every year and we bring the installers and their families. And if you look at roofing companies and they have a company event, what do they always have with their company event? Their sales, their marketing, and their office staff. The talent that goes out into the field and delivers for the homeowner isn't invited. And that to me just blows my mind. They are what we put ourselves around and support. So when we have company events, they're coming to our events. Their families are coming to our events because they are actually what delivers that great product. And we want them to be part of that culture. And you see a lot of times like people post on social media, like, here's our team, but they leave those people out. Well, they have social media too. Whether, no matter what background they come from, they're all in social media, and that can make them feel left out. And so I don't want that in our company.
Yeah. So I think I spoke to William Pauly a few weeks ago, and he talked about he's in private equity. And one of the biggest bottlenecks is the actual supply side, the actual installation side. So it seems like you solved that bottleneck, right? Because you said you have 10 to 15 people already working, but obviously you have to put them through a training and quality assurance process to make sure that they can install the roofs, right? And that's kind of the big thing. So it's actually sometimes, especially after a storm, it's not hard to like sell a roof, right? You just have the actual demand, but you need to supply, right? That's a big challenge, especially in Florida too. Like in Florida is a state that's not an easy state compared to other states, I would say. That's something I think you solved, like with that whole entire process you built out. Did you actually build that out like over time, or how did that come about?
Yeah, I would say it's over time. I think some of the stuff that we do now is over the last 6 months, but I would say what roofing companies need to measure, because everybody wants to measure closing rates and leads and all that. But the number one thing that I'm measuring every morning when I come in, or that I want my GMs to measure, or anybody working at Eustace, is how many warranty calls did we get? What are those going back to? Is that a kitchen vent? Is that a dead valley? Is that flashing? Where are we not getting things right? And what is the most? Like all of a sudden you see kitchen vents that are having an issue. Okay, what crew does that tie back to? Where does that go back to, that individual? And how can we go solve that problem? That's my KPI. That tells me the health of the company. And the way we do that is we do something that you're not going to see a lot of roofing contractors do. We have over 27 repair technicians that are out in the field all day long. And, you know, honestly, like they're solving problems for homeowners from competitor roofs, or maybe homes that just are aged and they're finding issues and solving that. But they're also going back out and checking on our own work. And then they're delivering back, hey, here's the most common thing we're seeing. And so then I have to come up a way that we're going to fix that, implement it, and move it on to the project managers to make sure that they're knowledgeable on it. And that's, to me, is the number one KPI that every roofing contractor should be checking every day, is what is leading to, you know, what is costing you money, you know, and it's not a great experience for the customer. So those are the main priorities. And then that helps us get better, right? If you're not going back out to your roofs, and that's what we see in this industry, is everybody's so concerned with two things: the sale and the collection. Nobody cares about the install. And for me, that's the most important part of the job. That's what's important to the customer. And so how do we measure that we did a good job? That's going to come through your warranty issues. That's going to come through customer complaints. And your repair department is really the heartbeat of the roofing company. They're going to deliver those results to you. They're going to solve those in a fast manner. You don't want a homeowner sitting with an issue on their leak. And so we don't see roofing companies really diving into the repair part of the business. And honestly, that's another marketing tool that we have, because you're out servicing homeowners and then you're going to put their same roof on in 2 years. You know, you're going to extend the life of that roof for them, hopefully, and solve their problem. And then they're going to be a returning customer when it comes time to roof the house. And that might be a season where leads are hard to come by. And that's typically how it works. And so that gets you through those slow seasons.
Yeah. I was going to ask you exactly about that, about repair. You already answered the question, but in my experience overall, repair work is actually, there's more roofing searches for repair work, also more demand for repair work than actual replacements. I mean, most homeowners do not want to replace their roof if they can repair it, right? But you already answered the question, why you should offer repairs. And a lot of contractors do not offer repairs, which is a big mistake, I think.
Yeah, and the reason most don't is repairs are really hard. I mean, they really are. It's hard to find a technician that has the ability to pull shingles apart very slowly. Like, the same guys that put roofs on are typically not the ones that do your repairs, and they're really hard to build and come by. And that did take a long time, is to build that out where we have that many technicians. But I never wanted to grow a roofing company that I couldn't service on the back end. So I'm not going to grow if I don't have enough repair techs to solve issues that we might have along the way. But repair techs are hard to produce, are hard to grow. And typically we take those guys off of a crew where they're super detailed and they're super slow. And so then they become somebody that we put into repairs, and that's where it's needed. And honestly, like, we do all kinds of things. Like, we clean roofs. And that brings us a ton of new customers because nobody really does that. And then we also do the roof rejuvenation through Ugly Roof. And that's been huge for us too. Honestly, like, we can get another 5 years out of your roof, and customers love that. You know, like, they shouldn't have to replace their roof if it's not bad. And so if we can rejuvenate it and prove to insurance that, hey, this roof is in good shape, we're good. And we see a lot of homeowners lately where insurance denies them the roof's only 8 years old. And the roof is just dirty. It's not bad. And so an insurance person that comes out, they're not a qualified roofer. They see a dirty roof. Oh, it must be bad. And so we're able to help those customers too. So not everything's about a re-roof or a big ticket purchase. And it's just about maintaining those customers and really what's the need of the customer. And our repair department is huge in that.
Yeah. The things that I want to point out, and I hope you guys understand what he's saying, is that basically what he's doing is extending the lifetime value of a customer. At the same time, he's also increasing the people he can sell to, and potentially increasing the people that can actually buy what you're selling, right? Think about like other business models like HVAC and plumbing. They have that recurring model like mindset more instead of the roofing. Roofing is like more like, hey, just one and done, and they're out. But if you build that recurring model in your business, it's going to help you be more successful. It's going to help you just with your business overall. So I think that's something that for sure they should like really consider and doing in their business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's basically money making revenue that comes in. That's marketing, right? Like, it's a source that you can use. It's hard to build, and it takes a while to get it right. And, you know, one of the biggest difficulties for me is sometimes like shingles don't match when you do a repair, and I hate that. So how do we tell the homeowners beforehand that there's probably not going to be a perfect match? And so how do we get that to be transparent to the homeowners from the beginning, so they trust us when it comes time to re-roof? But one of the things that I always hear from homeowners, we have a lot of trucks, right? Like wraps, and it's a pretty clean look that we try to go out with, which it really comes back a ton for us, because when we hear customers say, we see you everywhere, that doesn't necessarily mean the crew that's putting the roof on, because they go to the job site, they park, and they're there all day, right? It's usually the repair techs that are going to 3 to 4 jobs a day, driving all around town. That's when they're going to see you everywhere. So those repair techs are bringing you business just because they're moving throughout the area that you're working in, and people are going to see them more often than they're going to see the re-roof crew that's actually replacing a roof.
Yeah. Last time we talked, you said that you meet with your team, your marketing team, once a week. Can you walk me through that meeting? Like, how does it look like? What are the things that you go over in that meeting? What are the KPIs you track? Can you walk me through that? How that looks like for you guys inside?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing we're going to look at is the call center, like how many leads are coming in, how many of those are getting scheduled, how many of those are getting demoed to sold, and then how many cancellations we're getting, and where are those sources coming from? What is the biggest thing causing, you know, a cancellation, or what it may be? But we're looking at, you know, what's producing the most leads at that current time, that current month. We're looking at the schedule of rain. How much rain have we had, and how has that produced leads? One of the biggest things that everybody's probably looking at is, what's the cost of that lead, and what's the average cost of a lead, and where do we want that to be? And we're seeing that, you know, dramatically increase the average cost. And sometimes, you know, you can get 5 leads out of this one area, but the expense is so high. Is it really worth it? And so we're kind of monitoring, measuring each one of those, and we're finding new ways to advertise or get in front of the customer. And, you know, whether it be radio, whether it be content, LSA, PPC, which areas and which levers are working the best, and then what do we need to move for the next month? So we're pulling those and we're changing those monthly. And, you know, when we see, you know, what we'd call here in Florida snowbirds, when they go north, that one area, we're probably not going to spend as much money because they're not there. And so we're looking at how do we get really precise on that, because when you're spending the kind of amount of money that a lot of us are having to spend now in marketing, you don't want to waste those dollars neither. And so, yeah, you might have got five jobs from one particular area, replaced those jobs and did really well. But realistically, you know, did it produce any margins for you? And maybe not, because it cost you $5,000 to get to the door. It might not have been worth it. And another thing that we measure is, for me, I want to get on every roof, right? Sometimes customers aren't, not everybody's your customer, and it can be really expensive chasing everybody and really not beneficial. And so for me, that's been a tough one for me, because you might have an aluminum roof that we don't do, you know, certain types of aluminum roofs, but I still want to go there because there's a possibility you've got a shingle roof attached or something that I can work on. But what I found is, over time, and you're sending a sales rep there and maybe their closing rates are going down, it's affecting them personally or the revenue that they produce. And it's going to really be a negative effect, and it's costing you a ton of money to go there. So you have to really look for your customer. And our customer is going to be somebody that wants it done right, and that wants a company that they can call in 5 years if they got a problem. So we really focus on that type of customer. Very, you know, looking for that perfect customer that really meets what we're all about.
And you said a lead, is that like an appointment? Is that how you define a lead or?
Yeah, they break it down from leads to appointments to scheduled to demo. And what we mean by demo is like the person's actually interested and we can show them what we do. And then what's the close rate on that? And there's so many more measures that we keep coming up with and we're keeping getting better at. So like in a year from now, I couldn't even imagine what it's going to be. And it's, for me, I was always running blind. I was just social media and that was it. And so now this is a whole new world for me over the last 2 years.
Yeah. And something that we always talk about is, for me, like I try to educate our clients on the importance of understanding the cost per acquisition, right? How much money are you spending to acquire a customer, right? Like what's a profitable, like what range does it look like to actually make that decision? Like, I mean, obviously in Florida it's going to be different than Texas or whatever. It's just understanding what those numbers look like before you making, say, this is actually not working or not working, you know? Like typically, like what is it that you look for in that area? Like, I know I'm sure there's like a certain through your CRM, I think it's ServiceTitan, you have like a numbers. Hey, this is like the actual cost per acquisition, how much I'm spending, how much per appointment. You have all that broken down, correct?
Yeah, it depends on what source it's coming from. And honestly, it depends on what month it is. And, you know, on a hurricane month or hurricane call is going to be considerably less. We're going to change the way that we spend. But, you know, I'm always saying like 250 is where I want to be, but that's not realistic sometimes. And sometimes it can be 750. And it changes so much now that it's hard to really set a number on it, but we kind of got at that average. And, you know, there was one way that we were getting leads, and it was, like I said earlier, you know, it might've ended up being $3,000 to get to the doorstep, probably not worth it at that point. That goes back though, if you are there and you deliver a really good job, then maybe your reputation will get you some more houses on that street. So that's why I always say, like, you can do all that you want in marketing and leads and all that, but if you're not delivering a quality product, you're not going to get what you're looking for.
Yeah. Why do you think so many contractors hesitate in creating content?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think they hesitate because they're always worried about the competition, what other roofers will say, because we all do things a little bit different. In our industry, though, roofers are very critical, right? Like, they're going to be like, you know, they're going to be commenting on your page. And so people are scared of doing content because of that. Realistically, they're not buying anything from you. It doesn't matter what they say. And when the customer sees your content, you're the expert if you're talking about roofing knowledge stuff. And anytime that you get another roofer that's going to comment something bad, they're just helping you. They're promoting your page. And so I just say, like, I always say, like, I'm not concerned about my competitors. I would say this a lot. Probably 90% of the people that watch my content are competitors, but it drives the algorithms. It gets my videos up further. So it's okay. And what I think is, you want to be the expert. You want the homeowner to watch the video and go, oh, that makes sense. And then you're going to be the expert. They're not really going to concentrate on the comments that you're going to get from your competitors. And a lot of times they're not really well thought out comments and they come off very harsh. And so that automatically causes people not to pay attention to those.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about last time AI, right? You said that you're using tools like Rilla, right, to monitor like what the sales reps are talking in the home. How has that changed the way you train in the sales department?
Yeah, we do a lot of practice with our sales reps, and realistically, the reason we do that is we want to make sure that we're delivering what they tell the customer, or what, you know, like, you don't want them selling an aluminum roof and then you put a steel roof on, or that you don't do one or the other. You want to make sure that, you know, it's a good way for you to really be with the salesperson and understand, you know, like, are they staying on like topic of what we actually do, and do they veer off? And so it's a good way to measure. It's almost like being with them all day long, and you can go back and figure it out. And are we promising things that we shouldn't be? And so it's just a way to measure efficiency. Also, like, being who we say we are, like, are we all, when you have this many people working, you want to make sure that you're just delivering a better product to more people and you're not affecting it.
And how many salespeople do you have right now?
Say, for Eustace, we're probably around 20, somewhere in that area. We work with other companies here that are partners of ours. Like, we have one in Tampa called Handyman, and they're a very strong roofing company with a ton of knowledge. And then, like, today I'm at Kairos, which is in South Florida. Same thing. Very, very strong company with a lot of knowledge. Very good at what they do. Very difficult market down here because of inspections and procedures. So really great companies, and they all have their own individual salespeople at those locations.
Got it. So you have the AI just kind of monitor those 20 reps. Do you have like a sales manager that actually, like, or sales director that kind of like sees that data?
Yeah. And I didn't have that before. So that is so helpful. You know, what we see a lot with roofing companies, if they're really good at their craft, they're out in the field, they're working with their crews, but they're not actually growing because they're so involved in making sure the roof is perfect. So this is a way to kind of pull yourself back and monitor both. Sales managers are huge for us because they're helping the sales technicians through the job all day long with questions, concerns. You know, roofing is not always the same. You're going to walk a roof and there's going to be something you probably didn't see before. You'd be surprised on how every roof can be a little different. And so what I like about our sales managers is they came from roofing. So they have roofing knowledge. So that's a big part of Eustace, is our whole process. We try to plug people in with the knowledge that have been on a roof, that understand roofing, so that we're not getting ourselves into an area that we don't belong, and that we're actually doing what we say we're going to do.
Got it. So that has that, like, using that tool, has that increased your conversion rates on the demos? Has that? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been helpful. Yeah.
That's awesome. Last time we talked about, you mentioned that AI could eventually handle like anything from lead intake to ordering materials. How close do you think are we, like, to achieving that?
I'd say probably 6 months out for a really big push on AI as far as like handling your procedures and throughout the company. I don't think you're that far out. You're seeing companies like Service Titan working with distribution, and all of distribution is working with the software. We didn't see that, you know, 2 years ago. Like, we're really seeing that really hardcore now. We're seeing them, distribution, having teams that just deal with connecting your CRM. So I think we're pretty close. I think probably 6 months out. I'd be surprised if it took a year to get there.
And can you walk me through that? Well, how would that look like? Like, how would that, what kind of impact would that have in your business if that were the case?
I think it's more accurate. I think it only makes you better. I don't think it's taking jobs. It's just making it more accurate. It's making your procedures better so that you're ordering exactly what you need for the job. It takes a little bit of some of the mistakes out, and I think it's safer. I mean, you don't have somebody like on a really dangerous roof having to walk the entire thing. You can pull the measurements. It could go straight to distribution. It can get loaded. I think it's safer. I think that it's more accurate, and I think it's better for new salespeople that are getting into this industry. It helps make it quicker for them to adapt. And any position in roofing typically used to be a lot. Like, you had to learn so many different skills about roofing before you could actually order. And I think you're going to see that start to go away, where we can have more people enter this industry without having to spend so much time learning about, like, for me, I always like people to get on a job site for a day and really understand it. We've taken our office staff out to different job sites so that they can understand when the customer calls or what they're ordering. And I think it's going to streamline a lot of that.
Do you see a situation where you can actually kind of create an e-commerce experience where everything was online, where you could basically not only can do the measurement, like the satellite measurement, provide the estimate, the quote, send the proposal, close the sale on the phone, and then order the material? Do you think that can happen?
It's already happening. Yeah, I think that's, you know, a year ago we were talking about that. I think it's here to the extent where everybody can get a hold of it. No, we're not quite there, but I think it's already starting to happen for sure.
That's awesome. So I think it's only going to work for a certain type of customer. I think some customers don't we're not going to want that. They're going to want the person coming into the home and seeing that. But for certain type of customers, I think that would work well. It's also going to streamline the process, I'm assuming, right? Streamline the process. It's going to make it easier for you to actually do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's easier.
Yeah. Yeah. So for contractors who are listening today, who aren't using AI, what's one practical way that they can start today?
I think the best way to use it is like whatever the CRM you're using, do a lot of training, get really involved because they're plugging the AI into the CRMs. They're plugging it into distribution. So I think you have to really get involved in the trainings on whether you use the Service Titan. You know, I've used Dataforma at one time, you know, depending what they are. I think that's your first step. And then I think from there, you're going to start looking at how do you plug AI into when the call initially comes in to your office staff that's taking the call, whether it be your call center or whatnot. Like, how do we plug AI into that to make sure that we're delivering a better experience to the customer, that we're monitoring that more, we're understanding the needs of the customer more. But I would start with your CRM because they're already in works of creating a connection with AI and distribution. So that's the first start.
Got it. And Service Titan is obviously a CRM that's getting big into the roofing industry. They've been big in HVAC and plumbing for a long time. Like, I'm just curious, did you hire like a consultants or like implementations to actually install it for your company? Because it could be pretty complicated, right?
Yeah. And so been through this before with other technologies that we use, and it can be really complicated and difficult. But, you know, with Vertex, they move really fast and they create a ton of team members to support every location. And so they created their own team that came and implemented Service Titan, and they would spend months before prepping, getting all the information off your old CRM, making sure that you were prepared when that day came. So we're really, you know, I'm thankful that Vertex moves really fast and surrounds us with a lot of great people. And they took a lot of that on for us. We didn't have to go through that pain as much. We were just out installing roofs and like plugging those numbers in. I'm sure there's people that would be mad at me that work for me that are like, no, that was a ton of work. But I would say that Vertex did a really good job making that smooth as possible.
Yeah. And I want you guys to understand that, you know, of the top 100 roofing companies, right? 10 of them, right? 7 of the top 10 are backed by private equity. And the biggest levers they talk about in the article that came out like a couple of weeks ago, the top 100 contractors, they said there's three things, right? The first thing is strategic marketing. Secondly, is technology. And third is mergers and acquisitions. So the three levers they use to kind of grow businesses. So Vertex, what the advantage they had is they had that technology team already enabled that allow you to kind of create processes and systems much faster to adapt and really use that to actually grow your business, right? That's kind of the advantage that it has, is you have that marketing piece already inside. That gives you a big advantage, big kind of advantage versus your competitors, right?
Yeah. And I would say, like, if you're not part of equity, like, what's the best way? You need to hire a technology person on your team. And we're starting to see that throughout all kinds of roofing companies that are growing really fast. And I had somebody on my team that was doing that for me and did a really good job. And so they're reaching out, they're doing the trainings. And honestly, most CRMs, you're probably only using 10% of it. And, you know, there's 90% more that you could be using to make you better, but you can't concentrate on it. You're trying to take care of issues with homeowners. You're trying to onboard new employees. You're trying to deliver a great roof. And so that's something that's kind of out of your realm. And so you need a technology person on your staff, I think. And in 2025 in roofing, you need that. You got to have it.
Yeah. You talked about integrity before profit. What does it look like at practice at Houston Roofing? How has that shaped your growth?
Yeah. So, I mean, like we look at a customer, like if you're not happy, we're going to find every way that we can do it. And honestly, you know, the best way that we do that is like when you produce content, it makes you have to do what you're saying you're going to do. Right. And so that's when I talk about integrity before profit. I want you happy with the job site before we ever think about what's our profit on this job. And sometimes realistically, you might have to lose money to make a customer happy. And to me, that's the best marketing you can do, is please a customer, have them tell more. And what you do in a time of problem or a situation really defines who you really are. And so like, yeah, 90% of jobs go smooth. You have no issue. But to me, it's how you handle those 10% and making sure that you still maintain that integrity. And then that flows all the way back to more leads. And then it flows back to your sales team believing in what they're selling. And honestly, I think it comes back tenfold. So I look at that 10% where we didn't get something right, or as an area that we can grow in and get better, but also as an advantage for ourselves.
Awesome. How talked about this before. What's the difference between a roofing contractor, right, and a business owner? Can you define that?
Yeah, I think that has been something for centuries that has plagued roofing is, you know, you can have a business person that's really business focused, and they're probably not going to add to like a job site. Like maybe you need some peel and stick around penetrations or wall flashings. And so maybe those jobs you need to spend an extra couple hundred dollars just to make sure for the long term it's good. Extra checks and measures, right? That's how I'm going to look at it as a roofer. But from a businessman, he's going to say the numbers don't make sense. And so he's going to run it a little bit more lean, and he's going to run into problems on the back end of the business with issues that are actually going to cost him more money. And he's not going to see it, where a roofing contractor is going to spend so much more money on these little details that it's actually going to affect the health of the business. And so what I think is you either need somebody that can do both, which is rare, or you need a good qualified business person that can help you manage it, and then a really good roofer. And together, they can make something very unique, because you're going to spend way more money on having leaks within the home or issues from the job site than you're ever going to make from, you know, getting away from spending an extra couple hundred dollars on the job site. A business owner is not typically going to put a ton of time and effort into training. They're just going to hire normal people to come and put the roof on, where a roofer is really going to figure out how to get good at his craft, but he might spend so much time in that he's not actually operating the business.
Yeah. Yeah. So, PE, let's talk about private equity. So you said Eustace is actually stronger now with private equity behind it. How do you explain the benefits of PE that's brought to your team and your customers?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I lost some of my team where they actually moved up within the equity company. So like they went to regional roles and they're helping other roofing companies and their service, you know, other companies and helping us grow as a whole. I think one of the biggest benefits, like I said earlier, is, you know, there's definitely an advantage to creating more opportunity where you can move up. You know, honestly, there's a lot more ways that we can measure performance, and then you can actually, you know, get a higher pay because you're meeting those performance mechanisms, where before we didn't really have a ton of those in place. But one of the things I'd said before is like, now you have affordable healthcare that we all take on as a group. And that really, really makes a big difference, because you're not going to see that at roofing companies. And like another thing, retirement plans. But honestly, too, if you decide you want to move to, you know, Tennessee, we can probably put you in somewhere there because we have a company there. Or it's been huge benefit for the employees. I would say you're probably seeing them make 15 to 20% more than they were in the past also, because, you know, your A players are really benefiting it because we have KPIs that can measure your performance better. And it's been great for the community too, because we're servicing more people. We're getting in front of more people. And so we're investing more in community events, you know, back into everything that we live and enjoy every day.
Yeah. What are the things you look for, right? Because obviously you are in the hunt for like roofing companies and for like home service companies that would help them make it like be attractive to PE. Like, what are the things that roofing companies should have in place before they consider maybe selling to a PE?
Yeah, so that's a great question. For us, we're looking for companies that are well over 10 years old. You know, roofing is tough. Like 96% of companies go out of business in the first 5 years. So it's a tough process to build. So we look for companies that are well over 10 years old. I mean, if you look at my, you know, the company I'm with, we're over 65 years old. And then we've got, you know, Handyman down in Tampa that's well over 50 years old. So that's typically, you know, we have some companies that are 10 years old, just really solid. But if I was a business owner and I wanted to get into this side of the industry, I would start building a team, because every equity company is going to want to get involved with a roofing company where the owner doesn't do everything. And so when we look at companies where the owner is doing everything and you're going to probably remove the owner, that doesn't make sense. And so you have to build a team that can handle it with or without you. And so that's really appealing. And then a really good community, you know, business that's part of the community that everybody's going to know, has really good branding, and everybody's going to understand who that company is. That's a big part of what we do. But we're looking for the team part of it. We're looking for the community involvement part. And then we're looking for how long you've been in business, because if you look at all of our companies, it's been a long-term part.
Yeah. Looking ahead, how do you see, what do you see the future of roofing in terms of marketing, sales, AI in the next 5 years? How do you see that in the next 5 years?
I see it's a very competitive market. It's getting more and more competitive, but I see it more of that Amazon experience maybe in the future, like we talked about earlier. I feel like there's a ton of growth here in this industry where people that wouldn't have gotten involved in roofing are. So we're getting more and more of that A talent, A plus talent. So I can only imagine It being more that maybe its own Amazon, right? Like the roofing side of things. So that's kind of how I see it. More safe. It's going to be a safer industry. That's what I want to see. And maybe more rewarding to the guys that put the tool belt on. And that's really like a big concern for me is like, I think you're going to see, you know, the labor side of it really go up and be more rewarding for those people. And that's one of the things I've always wanted to see. They actually should reap the most benefits. That's a tough job. And I think you're going to see that in the future.
Yeah. I mean, but you saying that, like, I want to ask you an additional question. Like how is the immigration crackdown with ICE, all that stuff? How's that impacted the roofing industry? How's that impacted overall?
Yeah, so like for companies like us, it's only made us better and stronger because we've already implemented that years ago, three years ago, we were really cracking down on that. And so we have a really strong workforce that can withstand that, no problem whatsoever. And Equity's done a really good job of making sure that we're all on board, we're all understanding, you know, what you can and can't do and how to do it the right way. And so I think it makes Equity a lot stronger. It's going to take the smaller roofing companies are going to struggle with that because they don't know the right path and they're not going to have the right levers to pull. And for us, like we have a whole onboarding system and training that actually, you know, makes sure that we're doing everything properly. And you're not going to see that within your smaller companies because, like I said, they're still out there trying to sell roofs, produce roofs, and that's not been a huge, you know, part that they concentrate on. So for us, it is, and we have people behind the scenes that really, really help us make sure that we're doing the right things.
Awesome. Jason, thank you. Where do people find you?
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook. I have my own page with Jason Reisman. I also have a TikTok page, and then we also have our Eustace Roofing brand that's on there, and then obviously, you can find us on our website too, eustaceroofing.com.
Awesome. Jason, thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to AI and Marketing for Home Service Pros. If you got value from today's episode, do us a favor. Follow the show, share it with a contractor friend, and leave a quick review. Want help using AI or smarter marketing to grow your business? Head to contractormarketingpros.net and book your free strategy call.